And Shannon, a high near 97 degrees. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well, and hope you guys had a great weekend. It definitely was quite the weekend. Chase, we got to watch some wrestling. It's been hot as heck. Heck, hot as all get outside. And, yeah, man, I've just had a million things going on. But, hey, the good news is got some yard work done, even though it was, I mean, blazing hot. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I had to cut it short, man. I couldn't be out there too long. I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm about to pass out. And that's probably why I'm stuttering, because the heat right now is outside before you can probably see it on my face. I'm already sweating right now. Chase, hopefully they got the AC going in that room for you. So you can survive. I don't think the AC is on in here because I'm literally sweating. I'm about to cut the fan on. I can't even speak. Anyway, it's a Monday. You guys know how that goes. We got plenty to talk about today. We'll talk some recruiting. Alabama picked up yet another recruit this weekend. Chase had been on quite the little roll over the last, I guess, week or so. You know, you had the offensive lineman, Stafford Willis, Tyler Younger, edge had committed, I think, the week before, but then also the edge from Hillcrest. And I'm drawing a blank on his name. But now you get yourself a pretty highly rated receiver. So I think a lot of people that have been keeping their eyes on recruiting probably going to feel a little bit better coming into this week, Chase, now that you get yourself, I think, a top 50 recruit, a guy that probably could climb the recruiting ranks a little bit. You know, when I was thinking about this over the weekend after, like, the whole saga with, you know, you pick up Gales and everybody's, like, fired up. And then I think there's been some movement with some of the guys that recently committed, like, recently four stars. It almost gets to a point, Chase, why do people care so much about these rankings, man? Like, I'm almost at the point where I'm like, I get it to an extent, especially because it looks a lot different currently. Like, I totally understand that part of it. But at the same time, it's like why are we even, why does it matter if, like, if a kid gets bumped up to this, whatever? Like, let's just pay attention to who the kid is, what he brings to the table, what type of player he is, what type of person he is. Does he want to play at Alabama? Just call it a day, man. It's like, I don't know. Is it just me? I mean, did you feel like that at this point? It's just like everything is about where a kid is rated or what's his ranking, what's it going to be like. I don't know, maybe just because I've never really cared that much about it, but I just feel like all the emphasis is on that instead of just like, man, at the end of the day, man, are they good football players? Can they help this team? If the answer is yes, let's just all keep it moving. What do you think about that, Chase?
I think it's disheartening, honestly, that people would rather believe a rating system, and then when it doesn't prove to be true, they ignore it. Like, I've seen so many two stars, three stars that have made careers for top college programs, but they would rather put all their faith, money, all that stuff in a five star who could potentially leave them the next year. You know, it's just, why not, like you said, have somebody that's willing to put that uniform on day in and day out and show that they're here to represent, you know, UA, for example, to the highest degree. Like, I'd rather have somebody like that than because someone has a five star or they throw so many yardage and stuff like that. Like, no, like, we're in this climate where, like I just said, anybody can leave at any moment. Like, I'd rather you have people that are willing to stay through the process, trust the coaching staff, and give the fan base something that hasn't been really prevalent, belief.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's fair. And I want to be clear. I totally understand. You know, when it looks different, like, there's going to be a conversation. There's going to be concern. Hell, I brought up question marks. And don't get me wrong. Like, and I don't keep up with recruiting like that. Like, the only reason we're doing this is because I host this show. I'll be honest with you. Other than that, I don't follow recruiting. I really don't. Other than when I just need to, like, go watch tape and have, you know, info on these players so we have something to talk about. But I guess the point I'm saying is, like, to an extent, Chase, I get it. Like, you know, there's some merit in these rankings. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think it is a fact. I mean, kids that are rated a little bit higher probably have a little bit higher percentage of being more successful, maybe in terms of their athletic careers. I'm sure the numbers would provide that five stars probably have a higher percentage at being, you know, a higher draft pick or having a, you know, NFL career compared to some of the lower ranked guys. But I guess the point that I'm making is I feel like I don't even want to say we, and I'm not trying to point fingers here, but I'm just saying I have not become obsessed with it. But there's a lot of people that I feel like have just gotten so obsessed with where kids are ranked or rated to the point where we're like, and again, shout out to everybody. It's good information. Like, it, don't get me wrong, but I'm seeing like graphs and charts and, well, this is how many of this we have and that we have. And I'm just going to be honest. This is the football player coming out of me. All that means nothing. It really, what matters is what you do on the field, right? Like, so if we didn't learn anything. Like, Indiana didn't have a bunch of those players, and they just ran the table, went undefeated. So I just don't understand why. Like, it's great on paper, it really is. But at the end of the day, it's literally about what you go do out on that football field. There's nothing more to it. It's about tackling people. It's about blocking people. It's about running the football. It's about protecting the football. It's about scoring points and not letting people score. I just think we need to get back to that. So the good news is, Chase, we're about a month away from training camp. Lord knows. I mean, I'm counting. Everybody's counting down the days to, I guess, I don't know, the first game. What are we at, like 70, 60-some days? I'm counting down the days till training camp. Why, Chase? So we can get back to talking football, man. For all my recruiting junkies, I'm not trying to hate on you guys. Listen, I love the passion. You guys pulled me in this thing for a little bit during the summer, during the dog days of summer. But Chase, best believe when football is back and there are pads on and there are practices to attend and there is stuff to actually watch. Listen, all this is going to the back shelf, man. I'm going to leave it to Mr. Andrew Bone, recruiting experts, man. You guys got this because I can't keep up with this. I can't. No, Chase, I can't, man. I mean, it's too much. But the good news is, I'm doing it for you guys. So we're going to talk some recruiting. We'll talk about the big commitment over the weekend again. Could not care less about the whole star stuff, and especially now at this point. We're going to talk about who the players are, what they bring to the table. I can't really speak on the person they are. I just hope that they're good kids. But I'll say this, Chase. I feel like all the interviews that we've seen of these young men committing, they all do seem like really good kids. Stafford Willis, I saw some clips of him. Kind of remind me of like that Will Conformi vibe. Before you guys freak out, that's probably not the best comparison to use right now. But I'm saying in terms of a big man of faith, we had Wilkin on the show not long ago and talking about you know, the impact that he wants to make. I think Stafford was just very, very vocal about his faith and how it's kind of brought him to where he's at. You know, just stuff like that. Tyler Younger, great young man, it seemed like. I mean, I heard really good student. You look at the offers that he has. So I don't know these guys personally, but they all seem like great young men. And, again, I think and I'm not just saying this. If you watch these guys and just forget the ranking, I do feel like there's been some solid evals. I'll say that. And that's not trying to cope. That's not trying to make our fan base feel better. I'm just being honest. Ty Phillips, Tyler Younger, really good development piece. Stafford Willis has some really good traits to work with. Young man from Hillcrest. I mean, measurables aren't really on his side, but he's a damn good football player. I feel like we're going to end up looking back, and this class is going to end up being probably a little bit better than people gave them credit for. I have that feeling, Chase. And that's why I just think at this point, like, forget the stars, forget all this other stuff, man. Let's just watch the tape like we do on this show. We're ball people. That's what we do. And let's lean into that. Anyways, I guess I had to get that off my chest just because, I feel like my whole timeline right now is just recruiting, 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 stars, stars, stars. Oh, are we going to get this guy? Are we not going to get this guy? Rankings this, ranking. I'm like, brother, I don't care. I'm just ready to watch the football. I'm ready to see if the running game is going to be better. All right, that's what I want to see. I'm ready to see us take the field against Eastern Carolina. I'm ready for training camp. So that being said, enough of my rant. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll talk some recruiting, even though I just did all that. We got to talk about it. We'll talk about Gale's, the latest commitment to Alabama, four-star wide receiver, a guy that I think is a really good talent, man. And, you know, allegedly he's been crushing it this summer, Chase. He's been at these camps and, like, 7-on-7 tournaments, stuff like that. And allegedly he's been doing his thing. So we'll talk a little bit about who he is, what he brings to the table, and we'll go from there and keep on rolling. Of course, we always encourage you guys to get in on the conversation. 205-342-9904. That is the phone number if you guys want to get in on the conversation. We'd love for you guys to do that. You can tell I'm like sweating. I'm a little delirious right now. So come talk to me, man. Come hang out with me and Chase. We could use the company right here on this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
ability you need to tackle yard work with ease. Shop 4th of July savings on Ryobi Outdoor Power only at the Home Depot. While supplies last, pricing valid June 25th through July 8th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Chase, I got the fan turned on in here now. I'm feeling a little bit better. I feel like my face is drying up now. I mean, like that first segment, brother, I felt like I was running a marathon, man. You can see it on the stream. Speaking of the stream, if you guys haven't checked this out yet, come give us a, I guess I would say a follow or subscription, whatever. It's free on YouTube, on X, you name it, wherever you guys want to watch your podcasts or videos, man. We stream live every day that we do the show. Love to have you guys hang out with us. You can watch me and Chase in action, and you can always join the chat, leave your questions, comments, and concerns. And of course, we'll talk about it. You guys can talk amongst each other. So we always, and at end, did somebody mention free? It is absolutely free. A like is free. So check us out. All right. Let's talk about this weekend. But first, Chase, let's read some of these comments because we're kind of going on a rant about recruiting. It's a Monday Madness edition. I feel like that's very fitting. Before we get to that, let's see. Looks like everybody was on the same page. So I guess that's a good thing. I guess I was preaching some gospel. Smitty says, Indiana's top three wide receivers in 2025 were lower rated wide receivers, but two got drafted and the other wide receiver will be a first rounder in 2027. Stars stop mattering once you step on the field, and he is absolutely right, 100,000%. You know, that's why my thing is like, man, let's just worry about what's going on between the lines. Like, and don't get me wrong, recruiting classes are important, but I mean, you got the transfer portal nowadays. Like, yes, you can ask questions. Yeah, you can, you know, criticize a little bit, right? As long as it's not being disrespectful, but you can say, hey, we're not doing too great. That's just a fact. Like, that's one thing we'll do on this show, man. We're not going to sunshine Palmer, and we're not going to just be negative for no reason, right? I feel like some people do that as well. We're just going to call a spade, right? The fact is right now the recruiting class isn't very hot. But the other fact is some of it actually is intentional, right? So two things can be true, but at the end of the day, it's about what you do between the lines. And right now, I mean, I'm focused on 2026. I mean, we got a lot to look forward to, guys. We got a whole new offensive line coaches. Coach DeBoer did a lot of media last week and talked about those additions, not just, you know, Adrian Clem, but also Rich Owens, their assistants. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's been put in the mix now. And for one of the, not one of the biggest hurdle, which is, you know, being more balanced offensively, having a running game, there's a lot to look forward to. So that's kind of what I'm paying attention to. But you're right about that, Smitty. Nick says it's the Saban effect on fans that are used to having nothing but four and five stars on the roster. which again, I can understand that. But I think you just got to just be patient, just kind of let it play out. And listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, because you guys know me, I've been a little critical of kind of what we've seen, and not in like a bad way, just it is what it is, because I feel like we have missed on some guys too. And I think that the truth is, you know, yeah, we can say smaller class, but at the end of the day, if you at least attempted to recruit a guy, you had the resource and you had the availability. And they did go after some higher rated guys. Now they pulled out on some of those, and others, they just didn't land. And that's just the truth. That is what it is. I don't think that's a end of the world scenario, because like we talked about over the last couple of weeks, you always have the transfer portal to fall back on. So say they do miss on a number of guys this class, and it's not ideal. The good news is you get a second chance with the transfer portal. So, I mean, I think one way or another, just be cool, man. Even though it's hot as hell outside, just try to be cool as possible, man. Just let it play out. Let's just see how that goes. All right. Not even in August yet, exactly. You know, it's still early. Just let it play out. I mean, to be fair, the writing's on the wall. This class is probably going to be maybe at the highest this class might be ranked, Chase, is probably a little bit outside the 20 range, maybe. Given that there's not going to be many players, and it is what it is. Like I said, you just got to see how it plays out. But speaking of recruiting, we did in fact land a wide receiver target that, if you've been listening to the show, I've told you guys for a couple of weeks. I mean, he was a silent commit. I think he pretty much said that as well. That was why I was mentioning that. Like, everybody kind of knew he was coming to Alabama, at least if you talk to some people. So it wasn't a huge shocker, but definitely a really big pickup, because he's a really good football player. Four-star wide receiver Osani Gales, committed to Alabama over Washington and Stanford. Plays at IMG down in Florida. I think he's originally from California. But get into the player that he is, man. I think he's a great player, Chase. I really like the pickup. I think it depends on what site you're looking at, but I think he's as high as like the 7th ranked wide receiver, making him like the number 34 player overall. Some sites might have him a little bit lower, but definitely think there's a chance that he climbs up the rankings again. Doesn't really matter much, but for what it's worth, I think when you watch now, there's not a whole bunch to go off of, because the tape that I saw, at least like his highlights that he put up, just a few minutes long. I think his numbers were a little modest. If you look at it, I think he probably only had less than like 500 yards total on the year. I think somebody mentioned, you know, the offense that he plays in, it's not very, but I'm going to put this on the screen so we can watch and make the decision. But maybe not very pass heavy, I guess. I don't know. So stats wise, it's not really, you know, anything to run home about. But when you watch him, and there's some videos of him at camps and stuff, you just see how smooth he is. I think he's listed like 5'11 and a half, probably around like 190 or so. I think he's got some versatility. Definitely could play in that slot. He's very quick, has great short area burst, really good speed in general. You see him work a lot of, you know, jet sweep stuff. He can move around. Appears to have good hands, good body control. His route running is very smooth. Overall, I just think he's a player that has that feel that he can come in, he can probably play early. Definitely going to give you some versatility, be able to use him at a number of different spots in that wide receiver room. And I think ultimately they got a really good pickup in Osani Gales. I don't know if this really affects sales. I know a lot of people are fired up about his recruitment and hoping they can maybe land him as well. But I think Gales, Chase, to me, I know there's been comps of like Malik Lemon, a lot of these guys that aren't like the bigger wide receivers, but have good speed, great route running. They can kind of line up kind of all over the place and really just make plays. And he kind of has that vibe to him, at least from what I've seen. Again, just a few minutes of tape that we've watched, but I think it's very solid. I'm excited to kind of see what his senior season looks like. Cause again, limited production as a junior, but I think the potential is there. I think it's more so probably just for whatever reason, how they're using them down there at IMG, just didn't have a whole bunch of stats. But we'll turn on some tape here in a little bit. I like the pickup a lot. I think he's going to come in here and probably be able to play early. You're talking about you lose Ryan Coleman Williams, I should say. More than likely, I know he's going to have extra eligibility, extra 2 years now with that 5 for 5 rule. But we all know he'll probably be gone after this football season. You'll have guys like CeeDee Lamb, some bigger body players as well, like Derek Meadows. And then you add a guy like Osani Gales in the mix, and still have probably Rico Scott still be around if he's on the roster. And of course, Lassier Brooks, right? So I think there's probably a little path for him to see the field a little bit early, but I think he'll fit in nicely in that wide receiver room. And I think they'll find ways to utilize him in his athleticism. And I think it's a really good pick up. Chase, you got any thoughts on Mr. Gales before we hit this break, man? I know I haven't thrown these highlights up. I'll do that during the break. But anything that you've seen? I know, as a matter of fact, we pulled up the tape when we were sitting over here watching wrestling, man. Anything come to mind when you look at Osani Gales?
I think he's going to be a story to be reviewed on. I think he can definitely make his mark. At UA, he has the pedigree. He has the stuff that can make a really, really great wide receiver. I'm seeing a trend with a lot of these wide receivers that are being recruited. It's that model that I think Saban had that was so successful, like Julio Jones and so many others that just wanted to play ball. They weren't about the flashy stuff. They weren't about things that we see nowadays with high schoolers. You know, they're looking to prove their name, and even, they don't matter how many stars they have to his name. That what I just saw, even when I was hanging out with you as well, Christian, like it was just, it felt different. And I'm not saying that he's just going to just ball out and go Ryan Coleman Williams numbers, but just the look on his face, and he's looking that he wants to prove something. And I think that's been missing for a little bit. And I think that'll return, especially with this recruiting class. I'm liking the wide receivers that they're bringing in.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody has. I mean, there's concerns over recruiting, sure, but when it comes to skill players, quarterbacks, receivers, hell, even the running back spot, I don't think anybody's ever been concerned about that. I mean, we've brought in a really, you know, really good group of guys over the last couple of years, and I don't see any signs of that slowing down. But yeah, I know I like his fit as well. You know, like you mentioned, just his skill set, Chase. I mean, he's explosive. I mean, I think he's got great burst. His hands look solid. Just seeing what he can do with the ball after the catch is definitely a positive. We mentioned, you know, the jet sweeps, kind of being creative in that. In that sense, you can kind of see him running some routes right here on the screen. But I think he's smooth, man. Smooth is kind of what comes to mind for me. I mean, this route running. Sometimes you see guys in high school, I mean, they got to, you know, figure out their route running. They got to work on some of the fundamentals and technical stuff. But he's just very fluid. I mean, I would say he's pretty polished for a younger guy, and I think he's only going to get better. And that's why it leads me to believe I think he can definitely probably play a little bit early, especially the wide receiver position. We know that's one of the spots that allows you to probably get on the field a little bit early. But overall, man, there's just a lot to like about him, and I think he's ultimately probably going to be one of the better receivers in this class, just going off of the traits and things that he's already shown. So really big pickup for Alabama. I know for the folks that keep up with the stars and the ratings and rankings, you definitely like this one. I want to say he's probably the second highest rated recruit now in this class, second to Elijah Haven. So now you've got Elijah Haven, who's been turning heads at camps this summer as well, and Trent Seaborn for that fact. He's also been doing a lot of good. But you pair those guys up with a guy like Osani Gales, I mean, I think the future is bright. Again, from that standpoint, I don't think anybody's got really any questions. For me, I think my biggest questions are, and I know they've recruited, you know, Michael Carroll, Jackson Lloyd, those guys were top offensive linemen coming out of high school, but I think like defensive line wise, we brought in a number of guys last cycle. But I think for me, man, like I would love to see kind of some momentum in that department, like the trench area. I think that would give me, at least personally, a boost of confidence. Cause I have no concerns about us going after, I guess, skill guys, but trench players, man, I would love to see us kind of have a number of those guys. But then again, you got to weigh your options. Transfer portal might be better because that is a developmental position. Sometimes it's better to get those guys a year or two, I guess, into their careers. That way they can actually probably give a little bit more of an immediate impact. So we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we'll keep talking about this and more on this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. I want to get y'all's thoughts on Osani Gales, the latest commitment to Alabama, when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge.
Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
800-923-6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014, what would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, let's keep on rolling. I need to throw up the highlights of Mr. Gales here in a second, but we'll do that here in a minute. But again, just to recap for anybody that's just now tuning in, Osani Gales, four-star wide receiver from IMG Academy, commits to Alabama. We've been giving you guys the heads up. He was a silent commit, so not the biggest shocker there, but nice to see it officially done. Now, again, we got to get to signing day. We all know that. But I think he's pretty locked in with Alabama. I would be shocked if anything changes. And I'm excited. I think it's a really good pickup. And I think he's going to be a really good football player down the road in Tuscaloosa. Chase, real quick, I know this is a random note, but and we'll get back to football here in a second. Did you see what the Warriors are trying to do? Have you seen the news on that?
No. Tell me about it. What's up?
Dude, so I forgot to mention this in the first segment. I don't know, because we've been talking a little bit of basketball here, and I promise we'll get right back to football, but this just popped back up. We were talking about LeBron, kind of what we think he's going to do. Allegedly, man, it's from Yahoo Sports, so I mean, I don't think it's fake news. Warriors are allegedly attempting to trade with the Wizards for Anthony Davis and then go sign LeBron James. I mean, when I read it, I was like, hold on. So you're trying to have a reuniting party with LeBron and AD, but in Golden State with Steph. Now, I did see Draymond just officially opted out of his player option, so I don't know if he would want to be a part of that. I thought him and LeBron are cool, but yeah, anyway, I just saw that, and I was like, well, that would be crazy. Now, I don't know if it happens, but what do you think, Chase? You think that ends up happening, LeBron and AD pairing up in for the Warriors, Golden State?
The Lakers would have to receive a boatload of draft picks, and
is LeBron a free agent though, or no?
It's unclear right now. Yes, he is an unrestricted free agent. So yeah,
I couldn't remember if I think he might be. Somebody said too old. Fromm said AD's a weak link. Yeah, LeBron is a free agent. Yeah, so I was about to say I think he's a free agent. I know a lot of people think he might end up back in LA. We'll see. I know some people were saying that, I forgot who it was, but they weren't interested in maybe paying all that for him. Cause I mean, LeBron's older, but he ain't going to be cheap. I'll be honest with you. I think this would be a star studded group, but I feel like injuries would and health would become a problem. I mean, AD, man, bless him. I mean, he's one of the best basketball players in the league, but he can't stay healthy. And then LeBron's getting older, and you know, I mean, he's got to take care of himself. I mean, he's been rock solid his whole career, but with age, you know, you start having some things pop up. So Steph's older. I mean, I think it would be cool as hell to watch, but you look at the teams that are having success right now. I mean, you see a lot of these younger teams have started to kind of, you know, rise up. And I mean, hell, you know what I mean? Like look at you know, the Spurs, their young team. I mean, a lot of, I mean, was it OKC, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams out there with younger players. I feel like we're kind of seeing that shift now. The other big thing that happened in the basketball world, since we're just talking about this real quick, we'll get back to football. LaMelo Ball, man, he's teaming up with my guy Ant-Man. Now, I think that's fire. Now, it's a PR nightmare because both those guys literally say whatever's on their mind, which is a little bit dangerous knowing that they're about to be in the same locker room. But I thought that was fire, though, seeing those two guys. I think that backcourt is going to be dope. You got any thoughts on that one before we move on?
I love that. I love it. I love it for LaMelo because you talk about the Charlotte Hornets, and for a team that barely saw any wins 2 years ago to beating the Heat in the play-in tournament to get to the playoffs, I think it's big for LaMelo to start fresh. You know, you have a young core in Minnesota, even though you're right, Ant-Man is a PR disaster, literally just any waking second on Twitter. But that's a dynamic that I don't think people can really stop because they're both fast, they're both ball handlers. They feed off each other, off their players too. So I think it'll be a good tandem. They have a good core. You know, Rudy Gobert, and I believe Nas Reed is, I think he's there. I don't know if he's there anymore, but you know, you said it beautifully, Christian. It's not about, you know, max teams anymore, you know, superstars aligning. It's all about the young core. You know, the Spurs, OKC, so many other teams that made far. They have a young core that are actually relying on their draftees. They're relying on their coaching to get them there. And maybe that's good for the NBA. But to kind of bring it to a close, I think it's going to bolster Minnesota potentially to a Western Conference Finals because I think that was the missing link for Ant. Because if you looked at the playoffs this year and last year, he had to take on a lot of the load. And that kind of wore down on his body. And you need a 1A, 1B type of tandem to get far. Like, look at the Knicks. Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, you know, Cat and how he played, and even Jose Alvarado, who was like 5'4". But because they had pieces that complemented the team, they won their first championship in over 50 years. You know, so I think I like that shift, though.
Yeah, and talking about shifts, I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing in the league, man. Like I said, the older guys are kind of, I hate to say it, like on their way out. I mean, you saw James Harden with Cleveland. I mean, like, it's just time for the next generation. So circling all the way back, I mean, you talk about Minnesota, I like that backcourt. But then you talk about Golden State, what they're trying to do. I think it would be a fun thing to watch, but I don't think they'd be able to win one. I could be wrong, though. They could prove me wrong, but I just know Father Time is undefeated. And it's definitely not on their side. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we'll dive back into some football talk. I know there's still some notes and then comments from Coach DeBoer. He was doing a lot of media over the last week or so. Joined Cole Kublik, joined Martin Houston here on the station as well. So we got some more talking points that we'll break down from those interviews and more. And, of course, we got you guys. Questions, comments, and concerns, man. We'll answer those right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Lusa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, Dave Bartu from CFBMatrix.com. He's got an evaluation list on coordinates. I think you'll be shocked at some of that. We'll talk to Dave Bartu. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond with 97.7 The Zone up at Huntsville. We'll talk to Mark Houston. We'll recap some of his conversation with Kalen DeBoer. And a big question for you starting on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Very hot and humid early this week. There's a heat advisory until 9 p.m. on Tuesday. Sunny today up to 99. The heat index is high as 109, though, and you factor in the humidity at a low of 77 with a clear sky overnight. We'll start off with sun tomorrow, then a few afternoon storms may develop with a high of 99. The heat index tomorrow is high as 111, and a hot and humid Wednesday with a few afternoon thunderstorms at times. Otherwise, some sunshine and a high near 97 degrees. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back into some football talk here for a second. Coach DeBoer was on various shows last week, and I know he ended up on Cole Kubrick's podcast, not the radio show that he does with Greg, but he was on his podcast and spoke about a number of things. And I think following that, Cole Kubrick had gone on his radio show and went and gave his thoughts on Alabama going into 2026. And would you get it? Guess what, Chase? You know, a lot of the stuff he said, it's funny how he came away with a lot of similar conclusions as me, but we'll see if people run to message boards and cry and complain about your just analysis of players from a portal, because you'll hear Cole Kubik. He literally says pretty much what I've said, and just funny how two football minds come away with very similar conclusions. But I thought it was a very, very good perspective from Cole, and this was coming after he spoke with Coach DeBoer. So this was Cole Kubik on Alabama and why he believes the run game should be a little bit more consistent this fall.
And I do think Alabama has gone and found some folks that will help this part of their football team be better. Now, do I think that the offensive line collectively is more talented? I'm just going to be honest with you. No, I don't.
Just pause that real quick, because Chase, when I made that comment just out of the portal season, that was when everybody had a problem with they're making it seem like I'm a hater or something. But I'm just saying, I'm like, just respectfully, just like going off of my evals, again, just watching tape. And I didn't even say it like just straight up, oh, they didn't get better. I just said I can't definitively say right now with them just immediately coming here that we just got better. I couldn't say that because I didn't see it, right? This was me being honest. What I did say is I do feel like they have potential, and I think you're just leaning into that part of it, that, hey, we got a lot of players out of the portal that can help us and that can be good players. But currently, as it stands, I don't think that's who they were just yet, especially going, I mean, last year, as bad as we were, I mean, you had talent. Parker Brailsford, you go watch his tape, and that's why Cole is probably saying this. He knows Parker Brailsford was one of the best centers in college football. Turn on the tape, it will show that. And granted, he was injured down the stretch, but ultimately, he was one of the better centers in the country. Caden Proctor, for the struggles that he's had, don't get it twisted. I mean, he still is a first-round player. Now, he's going to get moved to guard, and I think he'll be a lot better. But, I mean, you had a first-round player at left tackle. You had a really good player and an NFL draft pick at center. Michael Carroll ended up being a freshman All-American. You had guys like Dewberry and Vandermark kind of sprinkled in there. But still, the point I'm making is you had talent last year, but they didn't get the best out of those guys. And so when you fast forward to now, Cole is an offensive lineman himself. Right. The reality is these guys can end up being better players down the long run, but currently they're young, they're a little green, and you're probably not going to be, at least initially, at least early in the season, as talented of a group. That's just the facts. However, you'll hear what he says that's really important. It's not always about that. So let's let the rest of the clip play.
I don't think that it's just more talented. No, good news is that doesn't always matter. That's not always what makes a good or great offensive line. But we've talked about Kalen DeBoer going and getting a couple assistant coaches on board. And I asked him about it yesterday, and he agreed. Like, you got to get more guys that know how it's supposed to look, that can coach it individually, that have done it themselves. Because the further we get down this path of college football and you go from position coach to coordinator to head coach, the further removed you get from teaching these individual things to these individual players. He referenced like how much less time Ryan Grubb spends coaching, discussing, talking about offensive line play than he did when they coached together 5 years ago. He's like, we're in a different place now. Like, he's not capable of doing those things anymore. All right, we got to get more guys that know how to make that look right, that can help us make that look right. And I think they're doing that from a coaching perspective, from a player perspective. I think that's happened. And I think you will look at it, at least I kind of look at Alabama's offensive line the way I look at Auburn in general this year. Are they going to go run for 380 a game? No. But collectively, it's going to look better. Like, it's just going to feel more acceptable. So, I mean, I had people ask me last night, like, how many games Auburn going to win? Can they win 8? Can they win 9? I'll say, listen, it doesn't matter the number. The product will look better this year. So Auburn might win 6. They might win 8. They might win 5. But the product is going to look better.
Yeah.
Like, I think you will be more satisfied with what you see with the product week in, week out. Maybe the easier way to say this, Damian, is it'll be less frustrating.
And so there you go. That was Cole Kubik. Like I said, I mean, he pretty much echoed what I was saying back in portal season. And I guess, I don't know. I guess football minds kind of think alike there in that department. But I think he's right, Chase. Even though you didn't necessarily have an upgrade in the talent in that room, not saying that, you know, no one can say definitively if you did or not, but just currently as it sits, I don't think you can say that. But the good news is, I do believe with the attention that they're putting into it, Chase, like Cole just mentioned, Adrian Clem, he's got experience playing the position at the highest level, coaching the position, one of the better units in the country when he was at Oregon. He's even coached in the NFL. I've talked to J.C. Hassenauer, my former teammate that played for Clem with the Steelers. He raved about the guy, right? From a developmental standpoint, teaching. I mean, there's a lot to really like about him as a football coach. I think that's going to be huge, even just the culture aspect, right? Like really instilling, you know, how to play the position, how to work together, right? The little details that we have been lacking, hopefully he can help clean that stuff up. I think that's the goal. But it's a by committee thing. It's not just one guy. It takes multiple people. Rich Owens, the tight end coach, his background as a tight end, sure, but he also is a offensive line coach, run game coordinator. Now you bring him in the fold. You bring their assistants, right? Those guys to help out. And what Cole mentioned was a really, really important piece. I don't think people realize how this stuff works, but in terms of coaching, when you have more heads in a room like that, it allows guys to really focus on certain aspects. We talked a little bit about this last week, but what he was referring to was as an offensive line group, that's five players you're responsible for coaching up. That's a lot for one guy. And there's never just one coach. You always have assistants, but when you have as many as they've added, it allows you to really break it down and have, you know, someone work with tackles, someone work with the interior guys, with the centers, and it really just allows the teaching and instruction portion, I think, be a lot more effective. And I think with all that attention that they're putting on it, Chase, I agree with Cole. Like, you don't know from a numbers perspective how much better it's going to be. I don't think you just go from 118 on the ground and through negative yards in a game to, you know, 160, 170. It could be wrong. But I think at the end of the day, they've made the right moves. And I think you should feel encouraged from that aspect. Because he's right. It's not always about only talent, right? I mean, talent definitely goes a long way and you have to have a good bit of it. But when you look at offensive line, man, there's a lot of other factors there. I mean, I've seen groups here, for example, where you have a couple first round talents on the offensive line, but they don't mesh, they don't gel, they don't have that chemistry, they don't know how to work together, block together, and then it ends up just being a mess and they never reach their potential. Hopefully we see a little bit of a turnaround in that department and it leads to some good things. But I also noticed, listen to Coach DeBoer too, Chase, talk about the running game and his offensive philosophy. There's a couple of things that were kind of interesting that caught my attention. Maybe we'll bring those up. But first, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Monday Madness edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Hour number one already in the books. Hour number two coming right up. Don't go anywhere. Quick time out. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Sunday night ball game was won by Boston with three runs in the bottom of the 10th, beating the Yankees 5-4. The Yanks had just scored two in the ninth, two in the top of the 10th for a brief lead. Red Sox starter Sonny Gray had a no-hitter for 7 1/3 innings. Tampa Bay now a game up on the Yankees in the AL East standings after winning a fifth straight contest, 5-1 over Arizona. The Dodgers were 4-2 winners at San Diego. San Francisco edged Atlanta 3-2, so the Braves' lead in the NL East is down to 3 games over the Phillies, who won 5-4 at the Mets. Kyle Schwarber hit his 30th home run. The World Cup's round of 32 started with a Canada victory, 1-0, eliminating South Africa on a goal in the 92nd minute. The next U.S. game is Wednesday night against Bosnia and Herzegovina in the Bay Area. The PGA event in Connecticut will finish Monday morning with a playoff. Scotty Scheffler against Victor Hovland. NASCAR win for Shane Van Gisbergen.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamp Brother Law, Education and Advocacy. See.
founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
to our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, Dave Bartu from CFBMatrix.com. He's got an evaluation list on coordinators. I think you'll be shocked at some of that. We'll talk to Dave Bartu. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond from 97.7 The Zone up at Huntsville. We'll talk to Mark Houston. We'll recap some of his conversation with Kalen DeBoer. And a big question for you starting on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. You're home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
WTBC. Let's do this. Let's start hour number two, Chase, with a phone call. 205-342-9904. We always got our guy Smitty ready to rock and roll. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, gentlemen? How was your weekend?
Man, it was not bad, man. Not bad. Got to watch some wrestling, man. Me and Chase watched was it Night of Champions, even though it was like during the week. It was a little weird here. Then I watched NXT last night, and actually it was a good event too, man. So a weekend full of wrestling, did some yard work, man, and pretty good, man. How's everything?
good here, and folks complain about no surprises and WWE playing it safe. Sami Zayn won a title, and these folks still complaining. He can't win.
But it's just like recruiting, man. He can't win.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right, with recruiting. And I got a football question to ask you after this, but I brought up Indiana because Surratt, the one, he was like a fourth rounder. Omar Cooper's a first rounder, and Charlie Becker is going to be a first rounder. Those boys, I can count on one hand how many passes they dropped. They did their jobs. But the thing is, when people talk about four and five stars, part of that is also evaluated because how many four and five star offensive linemen that we had since, I didn't say 2021, that didn't live up to the billing. But I'm not blaming solely Coach Saban on that, because part of the evaluation process is your coordinators, your assistants. You know, because even at the very end, Nick Saban did not miss on DB, even at the very end. So sometimes your assistants have to be good at evaluating as well. And like, I like what Cole said about the talent. Because I think Alabama has a lot of young talent, and we'll see how it goes offensive line. But the thing I look for is, can you do your freaking job? Can you get to the second level for once, you know, in a run game? Can you block your man, do your assignment? Because everybody loves talking about Indiana, but they had a simple concept that Bill Belichick uses. Do your job. To do your job. And I think that is one thing with this offensive line. And Coach DeBoer did everything he could so far to try to address that issue. Now, will it work? We'll see. But you got to give the man credit for trying, because a lot of fans don't realize how important the tight ends are when it comes to the run game and blocking as well.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, I agree. And I like the group of tight ends that we have this year. I think Caleb Edwards is a really good player. I mean, we got
healthy
to see,
now.
Yeah, and then he to me, he's always been more of a pass catching tight end, even though he's got a bigger body. He's built more like your true Y, but I feel like he prefers to, you know, be in involved more in the passing game. Wasn't big on run blocking, but that's something that he's made an emphasis this offseason. I think that's going to be very beneficial. And then you got a guy like Josh Ford, who Coach DeBoer was just bragging about in some recent interviews. About how physical he's been this spring. And I mean, I saw him during the spring after one of the scrimmages. I told you guys, like, I was standing next to him, like, damn, man, I'm not small. I'm 6'4", or just shy of it. And I mean, I was like, dang, he is every bit of 6'6", and he's built. He's a big dude. And you talk about adding him into that mix. And if you can get Danny Lewis healthy, I mean, he's probably gotten passed up a little bit at this point, but I still think it's nice to have that in the room from a physicality standpoint. And then even guys like Marshall Pritchett, I think they're making some nice strides as well. So a very important position, but I also think a position that might be a little underrated right now on this roster. You don't hear a whole bunch about them, but I think they could end up showcasing their abilities respectively in that room. And I think they actually have a solid tight end room right now.
Yes, and like with Danny Lewis, I always go back to that Georgia game. The one game he was healthy, he gave it everything he had, and they ran the ball okay, including running the clock out. And I think you needed that, because after he got hurt, it was Quavis who halfway through the season playing with a broken foot. And then you had a bunch of freshmen who weren't ready yet for that physicality of college football just yet. So I think with that tight end room being healthy, and you having tight ends who like blocking tight ends as head coaches, not head coach, but assistant coaches, to me that could work, because you said clean up. There's a lot of things. It's not just talent. Because Caden Proctor was the number one offensive lineman out of high school. He was like a top five recruit, if I remember correctly. Did he play like it? No. And this is where the new dynamic of college football bites coaches in the butt as well. I don't want to play. I don't want to play guard. I just hit the portal. The Dolphins say you can hit the portal, like you got to play guard, but ain't no transfer portal in the NFL. You know, you got to wait till that contract runs out. And
as much as they're paying him, I think he'll be just fine playing some guard. Hell, I would. Now, I wouldn't mind.
Now let's keep away from the donut shop, but you know. But at the same time, there's talent. Oh, but it's all about doing your job and your fundamentals. Because one thing I want to ask you, I heard Mark Slara say this, talking about his offensive line coach gotten the shouting matches with the head coach of OC. Do you think that's probably something that Coach Cap may have lacked? Because I'm sorry. If I'm an O-line coach, you're not about to have my guys rotate in and out or telling me who I'm playing. And I'm the one that's going to take the blame for that. Because I know you've probably seen that in your time in college in the NFL with coordinators and position coaches get into it. And sometimes you may need that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Coach Cap got on his guys. I mean, I'm sure there's sometimes he probably maybe didn't do it enough. Maybe he kind of got to a point. But, I mean, I remember being at practices and he would get after him. But I think he also got to a point where he probably was a little bit laid back with his guys. But in terms of, like, that dynamic with the coaching staff, that I'm not 100% sure of. But I do know, I mean, you got to think, Ryan Grubb is an offensive coordinator with an offensive line background. If I how do I say this, man? I get the sense that, I mean, Grubb's going to want to do it his way. Does that make sense? I word like that. So I don't even know if the whole shouting thing would really even work with somebody like that. I think at the end of the day, Grubb's going to do what he wants to do. He just kind of rubs me that way. So I don't know how effective that would have been. But that's why I'm hopeful that seeing all these new faces now, like, now it's not just one guy, right? I mean, you're talking about just Coach Cap, but now you add all these other individuals in that room. Hell, even Derrick Nix, the wide receiver coach, he has a background as a running backs coach. So I would imagine you know, he probably could add some input. Like, hopefully there's a group effort in solving this problem. Does that make sense? Because I think that's probably what's needed at this point to try to figure out, because it's not just the talent. I mean, I'm telling you, you go out and watch the tape. I mean, a lot of it was like a lot of little details that weren't being done. A lot of it was not even having that right mentality. Like, I mean, you know how frustrated it was watching? I'm like, man, like, you got to get tired of just, you know, you're getting blown off the ball, right? Like, as offensive lineman, you want to get pushed. Why are y'all not, like, ticked off right now? Why are y'all not mad? Like, y'all are getting bullied right now. Then it's just, like, just walking back to the huddle. Like, it's all, you know what I mean? Like, they're wanting that attitude. So, hopefully, they're addressing those pieces. Because I think that alone will solve a lot of the, I guess, some of the shortcomings that we've seen with the running game and just the whole, I guess, demeanor of it.
Can I ask you a question before you go? I mean, when you talk about defensive linemen and pass rush, you talk about heavy hands. Can you tell us what you mean exactly by, like, the heavy hands and what that means to everything?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so heavy hands just means, like, I mean, you have violent hands, right? I mean, sometimes you see guys that don't even use their hands at all, right? They got to kind of learn. When we talk about hand usage, I mean, when you talk about pass rush and offensive linemen and defensive linemen working, it's just like it's like hand combat, right? Almost like you're doing, like, jiu-jitsu or something. And so when I say heavy-handed individuals, man, that's when you're pass rushed. I want to see, like, you know, breaking their elbows down, like violently chopping hands, violently working with your hands, or even just like when you're in the running game. You know, heavy-handed might mean when you strike somebody, you're jacking them up, you're controlling that blocker, right? You have your hands and their breastplate, and you're jacking that guy up. I see his head bobbling, right? Because you're using him like a sled, and you're violently shedding him. It's just a demeanor that you have to have when you're playing. And heavy-handed guys just typically, like we always say, beat the hands, beat the man. I mean, it's an art to it. Uh-huh. So that's pretty much what it means. I mean, in pass rush is basically you're working your hands, you're violently breaking down the offensive lineman's hands. Then in the run game, just I want guys to look like they're a sled. I want to see their head bobbling because you're just jacking them up. I want to see you throwing them to the ground. That's what a heavy-handed individual pretty much means. So think of your guys like those physical edge setters, right? And you just know, like, when they really strike somebody and they got that extension, I mean, and they're ragdolling people, that would be a heavy-handed individual. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you there. Yeah, so I want to learn something new today. And one thing you said before I go that made so much sense, they talk about, like, the offensive lineman getting beat. And it reminded me, if you're not embarrassed as a player, because I think sometimes the coach will give you some things, but sometimes it's in you as well. And I use a coaching example. When Tennessee dropped 52 on Alabama, Coach Saban didn't say it, but you could tell that he was embarrassed and humiliated on national TV. What happened next year? Tennessee didn't score as many points, did they? You know, it's same offense, a lot of the same players. Because maybe that's something the coaching staff kind of evaluated some of these guys. Hey, these guys weren't even embarrassed. We got the freshman out here being physical and nasty. He's playing the wrong position. You know, and I just think sometimes that stuff goes into play. And maybe these guys may not be as talented, but if they're physical, little nasty and get embarrassed if they get beat. Maybe that's what we need more than anything. Forget the stars. I want someone who gives a crap. And that may be something like coaches may have evaluated. They just won't say it because they don't want to throw the kids under the bus. But I know you're up against it. Thanks for taking my call as always. You guys do great work.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you, Smitty. Good stuff, man. Yeah, and another thing I'll add real quick, Chase, for this break. We talk about heavy hands, like that punch, right? I mean, you could be like offense lineman with heavy hands. Like you watch his punch, his strike. That's the word I was looking for. Like you can just tell, like it's hard to explain, but like that, it's almost like the head bobbling back. Like you see somebody punch right when they're coming out, that ball snapped. I mean, you see somebody's head get, you know, knocked back because of the force with that punch. Those are heavy hand. Like I'll give you some examples, some heavy handed guys I played with. The heavy handed guy, I mean, like DJ Petway has some heavy hands, man. I mean, DJ Petway would be like, when he got to that long arm, I mean, he would be choking guys out. Like, I mean, you just see their head just flying back. I mean, he just had such a strong strike and punch. Lester Cotton, you guys remember big Lester Cotton from Tuscaloosa? Man, Lester was a heavy-handed individual, man. You know, Lester, when like, he was one of those, you know, those two-hand punch guys when it came to pass pro. And if he got his hands on you, Chase, you're going to feel it, man. Felt like you had like buckshot going through your chest. If Lester got a hold of you, man, oh, it's wraps. You know, so that's what I mean by heavy hands. You can see it on the tape, man. A guy just violently ragdolling people. He got a strike, a punch to him. That's heavy handed. Which I think is Beverly. Is that his last name? The young man from Hillcrest. He kind of has that to him. You watch him strike, man. He's a heavy handed individual. So. All right, let's hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
$1,000. Great atmosphere, outstanding customer service. Where they do that at? Bama Entertainment, where the odds are always in your favor. Take exit 45 off 2059, sponsored by Red.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7000. 7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Very hot and humid early this week. There's a heat advisory until 9 p.m. on Tuesday. Sunny today up to 99. The heat index is high as 109, though, and you factor in the humidity at a low of 77 with a clear sky overnight. We'll start off with sun tomorrow, then a few afternoon storms may develop with a high 99. The heat index tomorrow is high as 111 and a high to humid Wednesday with a few afternoon thunderstorms at times. Otherwise, some sunshine and a high near 97 degrees. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 94 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Chase, I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if this is legit just yet, but we've been talking a lot about Sorsby, so I wanted to throw this out there because I saw this over the weekend and thought this might be something just to bring up or throw at you guys. So remember, the NFL sent out the memo. They weren't doing the supplemental draft. No more, I guess, NFL hopes. As of now, he's going to have to put that on pause. But we also heard that the CFL, which we mentioned, maybe that would be something that he could explore, maybe try to take a shot at the CFL in the following year, I guess, NFL. That's a no, because the CFL also came out and said that they would not be allowing him to be signed by any team. So now I guess the only thing left for this young man, Chase, which is crazy because he went from, I mean, it's just crazy how fast this thing shifted from, I mean, like a whole story about a young man with a true addiction that he was getting the help and all this. And now it's turned into like people are kind of, I guess, brushing that side of it off. And he's talking about suing and it's crazy. UFL might be his only option left, which we know UFL, you got the Birmingham Stallions. You know, it's been a pretty solid league. Now it's kind of gone through their little, you know, bumps and things throughout the last few years. I mean, I think there's like the XFL and they changed it. The USFL, they combined them. I don't know. Do you feel like they are willing to take the shot on Brandon Sorsby, Chase? And do you think that will be a saving grace, or how do you see this playing out? Because it seems like he's kind of running out of options at this point, man.
I just don't see it happening, Christian. That's huge for a league like that that has a lot of good talent there. You know, a lot of former NFL players that just didn't get their mark or didn't make it. You know, they go down to that league and they build themselves right back up into the players that we see today. But I wouldn't say the door is shut on his career because you do have international leagues. I actually know someone that played college football at a lower D1 school and, you know, he didn't get drafted or anything like that, but he went international and they have a football team in Spain, I believe. So, and people still tune into that. So, you know, it's not over, but it's going to be a long journey for him if he wants to play in the NFL, because the NFL made it very, very clear. He will not be playing for any team for a little while. And, you know, you do live by your decisions, and I still stand that, you know, he's getting the help that he needs, and I wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, this stands the truth, man. Be careful who you surround yourself with and the decisions you make today, because they will make your destiny tomorrow. And unfortunately, Mr. Sorsby is learning that, and I'm just shocked, though, that that league in particular, Christian, said no. I thought they were going to give him a chance to maybe figure it out, you know, with good publicity. You know, why don't kind of give him the full, like a Johnny Manziel type thing, but I guess they don't want to fool with it.
I mean, and I understand from the integrity standpoint, like 100%, like there needed to be something done. And again, we also sat here and said, mental health is very real, and we understand and respect that to, like, you know, better than probably anybody, I feel like. But at the same time, I just feel like they were really leaning into that. I wouldn't say exploiting it, but to me, something doesn't seem right when you immediately go from that angle to, now that I'm not getting my way, I'm suing and doing, like, something. It just seems kind of off. But allegedly, the UFL does appear to be a very realistic option. Now, I'm trying to make sure this isn't fake news, but it sounds like maybe the owner of the UFL or somebody, maybe somebody's just making this up, I don't know. But I've read some things where, I don't know, maybe the owner said the UFL is a league of opportunity. I guess he's a co-owner, and maybe he's trying to get the ball rolling there. It seems like it might be his only option, and honestly, it might not be a bad one. I mean, the schedule of the league would allow him, it would be after the following year's draft, but it would at least allow him, if he were to try to get signed by a team, he could get some tape next spring, right? And then maybe get signed for a training camp or get an invite to a training camp. I ultimately think that would work. And just because you gamble, we know that, you know, once you kind of do the time, I feel like you're free to kind of get back. Again, Calvin Ridley, Isaiah Rodgers, a number of other guys that had their name connected to things like this, they still are playing. It's not like you're blackballed forever. I think the NFL just wanted to send a message right now. And that's kind of probably what they were going with by saying, hey, as of now, we're not doing a supplemental draft. They'll probably shift their stance a little bit going into next season. So anyway, that's the latest I saw. And then I just thought it was interesting, because I'm like, man, just a couple weeks ago, we're talking about this guy was supposed to be suiting up for Texas Tech here in, you know, a month or two, and how it's like, man, you know, this story of we're helping this young man, this young individual who's, you know, really dealing with something troubling. And now it's turned into he's on the offensive, like, hey, man, I'm willing to sue whatever I got to do to get whatever. And he's getting blackballed from all football leagues, which is kind of crazy, man. It's crazy how quick this whole thing happened. Anyway, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. I saw Smitty just tagged us in something we talked a little bit about last week, especially Thursday, when our official lawyer, Mr. Adam Lamparello, joined us here on the show of Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. We got some updates in the Terrion Arnold situation. Again, a little bit of a tough subject to talk about, but it appears that we got a little bit of a positive update this morning, and so we'll discuss what that update is when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. But again, speaking of lawyers and representation, look no further than Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. They are the best to do it out there. They'll do it in a first-class manner, but not only that, at a very affordable rate. We know how important that is nowadays, man. Times are tough. Make sure you find somebody that's willing to go to war for you, and that will do it for a very affordable price. Lamparello-Law.com is the website. You can schedule your free consultation there. You can find out all other information about even the other services that they offer for high school, college, and graduate students, whether that's career and academic planning, test-taking preparation, the list goes on. So make sure you guys contact them today at lamparello-law.com. Lamparello Law, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. Quick timeout, we come back. We shoot that, probably shouldn't have said that like that. We give you guys the latest update on the Terrion Arnold situation. We come back.
Here, treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
sponsored.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's shift gears a little bit here, Chase. So we got an update with the Terrion Arnold situation. We talked a lot about it last week with our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, our official lawyer. Remember, check them out, lamparello-law.com. Man, Adam's like, he's spot on with a lot of stuff when we bring up these cases and things that we ask him, man. But one thing he mentioned, Chase, if you remember, was about the fact that it's really going to be about, how do you say this? I guess discrediting the other, I guess, individuals involved, because to be fair, like you'll hear in a second from this clip, I think one of the biggest things tying Terrion to the situation, really, if you go back to when this, remember, this came out like months ago, in the media at least, and then it kind of went away for a little bit, then it came back up, but it really is just the testimony of the two, I think, women that were involved in the situation, allegedly. And that's really how his name got brought up. But as you'll hear from this judge, and let me backtrack. The positive update is he's been granted bond, and it was set at $1 million. Initially, the state was pushing to not have him released on bond. They said he was a flight risk. He had the resources and stuff, all that good stuff. But the good news was this morning at his hearing, he was granted bond. And this was the judge's reasoning for that.
In Florida, what distinguishes Mr. Arnold from those other six is he has no hands-on. He never goes into the apartment. There's nothing on his phone, on his social media, on his texts. What you have, the state has, to connect Mr. Arnold through the principal theory currently is the testimony of the two co-defendants that were facing life in prison in Florida.
So there you have it, Chase. So that was the judge giving his reasoning for allowing Terrion Arnold to be released on bond. So again, the details on that is $1 million bond, which I think we all know typically pay, what, 10% of that, so $100,000. Cannot have any contact with co-defendants or witnesses, must forfeit his passport, and he will, I guess he gets to be required to be at home or at work, which work would be right in Detroit. So I'm assuming that there will be something worked out to where he can stay in Detroit. I think somebody mentioned that he will be able to attend training camp. I haven't read that just yet, but Chase, what do you make of this update? I'll be honest with you. One thing that I took away from what the judge just said, going off of the details that he provided, is, and again, I'm not Adam, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not part of the police department. I don't know all this stuff, but what I do know is from, I guess, my lengthy time of watching some shows, sounds like the only thing really connected him is not even his phone, not even really phone records. The only thing really connected him is, I guess, the testimony of the two other individuals. So if I'm being honest with you, that might have been one of the most positive updates I've heard. Now, again, remember, innocent until proven guilty, but at the end of the day, they have to prove beyond reasonable doubt, right? And it's kind of sounding like they don't really have a whole bunch of proof, at least, right now with this whole situation. Now, I don't know kind of how this whole thing goes out, but what do you think of that update, Chase? I'll be honest with you. When we talked about it last week, I was like, oh, man, like when, you know, there's two people that have already been charged and you know that they're already speaking on things, that's normally a very bad sign. And Adam even concurred, right? Because they're going to be witnesses and they're going to testify against you. But as we just heard from the judge, it sounds like that's really the only concrete thing as of now. He mentioned that he never was at the place. He wasn't involved in any of them. I think his name was brought up in some messages, but it never really connected him. So from my perspective, it kind of sounds like a pretty positive update. What do you make of that, Chase?
Man, you talk about a 180, honestly. Man, I was kind of watching the video during the break, and just the body language of the lawyer and the team and Terrion, this might be his chance, because this kind of sounds like hearsay in the end, and usually that doesn't go well for the prosecutors in the state or whoever's trying the team at involved. But yeah, I just feel like you could honestly, and I saw this in the chat, Terrion could sue for defamation, because his NFL career is very much in limbo. Because would the Detroit Lions want him back? You know, there's so many variables to this, Christian. But yeah, you are absolutely right. This is the biggest news that Terrion could ever get, because I didn't know that he wasn't even connected to the text messages. He wasn't connected to the call he made. Now, let alone being in the apartment, that's even huge for him. So yeah, I think the way this case, in my opinion, right, mind you, I'm not a lawyer. Adam has a lot of legal stuff to it, but the way it's looking, Terrion might get off in this, and he might benefit, because like I said, a defamation might be in order because of what it's caused, because all the social media that has been brought up on this, and Terrion is really affected by this, I would say.
Yeah, and that definitely will come at a later date for sure. I mean, you definitely want to probably figure this piece out, because, I mean, it's still, I mean, you get granted bond, which is definitely a blessing. I mean, you can see it on his face. I mean, he definitely was very relieved, I would imagine so. I mean, knock on wood. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, sitting in that situation, but especially with what's looming over your head, you know, depending on how it goes. But according to Adam Schefter, and I think somebody in the chat pointed us to this, it says the Tampa court denied the government's request to hold Tarion without bond. Pending trial, the court set that $1 million bond and refused to impose an ankle bracelet as a condition. So they refused to impose that, clearing his way to participate in training camp. But I think it's going to be interesting, Chase, because that really depends on how the Detroit Lions go about this situation, right? Because, or even the NFL, I guess, for that matter. Now, again, we all know innocent until proven guilty. And what we just heard from the judge, I mean, it sounds like right now it really does look like a case of, you know, he said, she said kind of deal. Granted, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some more details, but as of now, what's come out is it just basically going off what those two individuals said, which really is in his favor right now, like tremendously, but much different. I have a much different outlook on this now than I did last week when we talked about this. That said, do you think, Chase, the Detroit Lions will allow him to go through with, you know, team activities and all this while this? I mean, because we know that the system probably takes a while. I mean, do they even announce an expected trial date? I mean, that could be a year. It could be two years from now. Do you think in the meantime, you think Detroit supports him and allows him to participate? I'll be honest. There's somebody who... Personally, I don't even know, Chase. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know either, Christian. I think that's a risky move. And I don't think one player makes their organization. They have so many other players that they can rely on. And this absence of Mr. Arnold, and you know, their DB room is pretty strong. You know, they did pretty well last year in holding up their defense. So I think it's just you still support Tarion in this situation if you're the organization of the Detroit Lions, but you do it strategically so you don't get hit. Because at the end of the day, he is an employee for you, and he represents you, and you have to take this lightly, because any wrong move, and now you're in the center of it. Now Adam Schefter is reporting what you've got going on, and that's the last thing you need right now for, I would say, it was a subpar year for the Lions last year. But, yeah, I don't risk playing Tarion. I'd rather play him when he's cleared, where Roger Goodell is cool with it, and just so many other things they have to go through. Rather than making that move, and now you go into a legal battle where you have to vacate games. You know, there's so many things that goes into this that it could get sticky.
Yeah, and I think that's probably definitely going to be considered. I mean, you look at, I guess, the history of some other stuff. I mean, there's been a number of players that have been charged with things or accused of things, and typically the teams, I feel like, take a patient approach, and they kind of let the facts come out and let things play out, and then ultimately make their decisions from there. So I'm sure that's probably going to be the case. But if you're talking about like taking part in like training camp and stuff, that is kind of interesting. I'm trying to think. I mean, we got to hit a timeout. Maybe I'll look it up and during the break. But I don't know. I'm like, have we heard of a guy? I mean, I know like was like Rashee Rice, receiver for the Chiefs. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had that legal stuff when he was. It was like that accident that he got in, and he still was participating, doing things, and then ended up being fine. I know that's a little bit different than what we're talking about here, but I don't know. But what I do know is that sounds like a pretty positive update, in my opinion. The bond itself is a huge, huge update, huge positive update. But it just from what we just heard, I think it honestly might be looking a little bit better than it seemed last week. So just got to let the process play out, and we'll definitely keep asking our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, for his thoughts, because he's been pretty much spot on with everything he said, man. That's why we always trust our official lawyer here on the show. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap up this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, Dave Bartu from CFBMatrix.com. He's got an evaluation list on coordinators. I think you'll be shocked at some of that. We'll talk to Dave Bartu. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond from 97.7 The Zone up at Huntsville. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We'll recap some of his conversation with Kalen DeBoer. And a big question for you starting on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. You're home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays
are available now.
Let us exceed your expectations at Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Chase, Tyreek Hill, somebody mentioned. I think he's kind of had some issues. And I mean, there's been a number of NFL guys that have found themselves in situations, and I don't think they've necessarily immediately been suspended. I'm just trying to think about, like, in terms of like the process of it, meaning like while they're doing their investigation, like weren't those guys still playing during that time? Like Tyreek Hill? Or any other player, like, were they suspended while they did the investigation? They were able to come back when they finished it? Or was it just like they briefly suspended them and then they still were working while it was being worked out? Do you remember or recall any of those?
I do not. I have to double check on that. But I know it wasn't a good situation with his playing time for sure.
I'm pretty sure Rashee Rice was with the Chiefs was playing while he was kind of going through his legal stuff. Like, I think they suspended him initially, but then when he came back, he still was playing and while he still was working out his stuff. Now, maybe the severity of the charges matter. Somebody said, where's Adam when we need him? Would love to hear Adam's opinion on this. Oh, we're going to get it. Don't worry. Maybe what we can do is maybe we can ask Adam to join us Tuesday this week instead of Thursday, since this is a pretty big update. Because I'm curious, too. I mean, when we get off the show, I'm probably going to shoot Adam a text. I mean, hell, we can do it right now. He might be busy. Adam's had a lot of business recently, which is really good. But I do want to hear what he says about it, because I think he's going to agree with us that it's looking a lot better now. I just want to know, like, what this process looks like in the meantime. I guess the good news is, he's cleared to go back to play and training camp and do all that. Which is really just a blessing for him, Chase. Just think about that, man. Like, if it didn't go this way this morning, I mean, he would have been forced just to be sitting behind bars. And Dude, there's cases that, especially in Florida, that I've seen, like, there's cases where guys are sitting there years, man. Not just in Florida and other, like, but people are sitting, waiting years for their trial. And they haven't even officially been proven guilty. So, I mean, a huge blessing in itself to be able to go back to work, go back to do all the things that he does while this works itself out. And just got to pray that it ultimately ends that way and kind of go from there. But, man, that was definitely an interesting update. I wasn't expecting that this morning, but definitely have a much better outlook on that. We got a few minutes left as we wrap things up. I was going to throw this here at you, Chase. Remember we were talking about the financial side of things last year? Or not last year, last week, sorry. Jalen Hurts, they broke down his first $1 million that he spent, right? I don't know if you guys have seen these videos that they do. Some smart dude, man. I wouldn't expect anything less from Jalen. We were talking about this last week about managing money and all that stuff. Of course, man, my guy Jalen, man, he set the tone. He listen to how he did his first million and should, we're proud of him, man. Here's why.
Philadelphia gear when I first got my money. $1,000. Got me some real jewelry. Ordered me some stuff online, some clothes. I give me some shoes. Probably like 25 to 30. I'll put up 30. $30,000, my first year of fashion. For charities and giving back for my rookie year, $60K. That's what matters the most. For rent, Wi-Fi, phone bills, all this different stuff, $30,000 this year. Well, obviously, as a professional athlete, you have people that work for you and do things for you, and it don't come free, you know. So for my agent, my financial advisor, I spent about 20 my rookie year. I've spent $20,000 on business fees this year. Taking care of my body for my rookie season. So $10,000 for training and self-care. Helping around the house, back home, put $15K on that. I gave my brother $1,000 for his wedding. Couldn't even go because I had a game, but I gave him $1,000. My 300 ride just right to me. So I got that car when I was in college, a used car, low mileage. Having the money I have now, I had the capabilities of paying it off. So I spent $10,000 paying my car off when I got my first meal. $15,000. Somebody told me that was a reasonable number for a vacation for the future. So I'll go to a nice place, spend $15,000 on a vacation or vacations. $70,000 set aside for her to go to college just in case she needs it. I try to be pretty smart about how I save my money. So the rest of this, it's all in the savings. Savings. All this money here, it went to savings. If I could get any advice to a rookie coming into the NFL, having this amount of money for the first time ever in your life, be wise with your choices and decisions.
Smart man. So there you go. First mil and 700 and something thousand, it looked like, went to now. Only thing I would say, Chase, is instead of just savings, which I know he's just saying savings probably. I'm sure somebody's helping him invest it, but I would say invest. Savings now, if you ain't got, you know, maybe a high yield savings, a little bit better than some, but still 3%. I mean, it's better than nothing, but you invest, I mean, you're talking about you can make a lot more than that. Just do it smartly. Do it in a very, very smart way. Anyway, that will do it for this Monday edition. And we'll be back tomorrow for a Talking Tuesday edition. Plan on having Clint Lamb join us per usual at the top of the hour. Big thanks to Chase behind the glass. Big thanks to all you guys tuning in via radio, Tide 100.9, that app, of course, on all our streams. We appreciate you guys. This is a fun one today. Very fun one. A lot of stuff we got to cover. And look forward to doing it again tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great rest of y'all's day. And we'll see you guys then right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Have a great rest of y'all's day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.